The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can women serve in the church? What does the New Testament say? And what will happen to people who take the mark of the beast in the tribulation period? Can they still be saved? Thank you, friend, for joining us today on Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. An interesting discussion is just ahead. And let me tell you quickly about our website. Faithalone.org is the address. You can find out a lot about Free Grace Theology and about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to that website. Lots of good books for sale, but also there are many articles and blogs if you have a question about Free Grace Theology. That's faithalone.org. Now on to our discussion for the day. Here are Ken Yates and Bob Wilkin.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus. This is Ken Yates, and I'm here with Bob Wilkin. And Bob, I got a couple questions I think we can handle on one podcast. Maybe not. We'll see. But I'm going to turn this first one over to you because they specifically, and this is from David, he specifically wants to know, Bob Wilkin, sir, what is your take on this subject? And so I'm going to turn this one over to you. And his question is, what's your take on women preachers in our society today? He goes on to say that Paul apparently does not allow a woman to exercise authority over a man. So what say you, sir?
Okay. This guy's, David's probably in the military with all the sir, but thank you, David. And my response would be Paul was talking in a specific context in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He also has similar statements in 1 Corinthians 14. And what he means is, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority of a woman in the church. And so he's talking about the meeting of the local church in terms of teaching. So women, whatever your church calls the meeting of the local church, women are not permitted to speak in that meeting. I take it in the early church, that was a Lord's Supper meeting. And so women said nothing. They didn't speak at all. And in the context of American church today and most churches around the world, church is considered the sermon on Sunday morning. And so women can speak during other parts of the service. Women might give announcements. Women might talk about their ministry overseas.
Special music.
Special music. They might give a little sermonette before the special music. But once it comes to the sermon, at least conservative evangelicals don't have women preachers. Having said that, there are churches that do. And when it talks about exercising authority over men, that doesn't mean in any context. Obviously, women can be over men in the business world. A Christian woman can have Christian men that work under her at Sears or at, you know, at their pizza restaurant or whatever. And even in spiritual contexts, here at GES, the executive director could be a woman.
Right.
At a seminary. Like we're starting our own seminary. There, a woman could be the head of it. A woman could be the president. There's nothing in Scripture that forbids a woman from having leadership in a spiritual context. It's the church they can't be an elder in.
Yeah,
because elders are to be husbands of one wife, right?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the issue here, too, about who are the leaders in the church, who are the ones doing the teaching during the church meeting. You know, is it the elders? You know, we use this word preacher, you know, and it different means different things in different contexts. For example, really, really large churches, for example, have pastor of children's ministry.
Right, and that could be a woman.
Right.
And they do have women as pastors.
Right, but there are some people who would say, oh, no. You know, this is a pastor. This person has the title of pastor. So even if it's not the person who's doing the teaching in the meeting of the church, well no, you can't have a— because there's associate pastors for everything in these mega churches.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's pastor of finances, pastor, the associate pastor for missions—
Or discipleship.
Yes.
Or small groups.
Right. And so it's, I think you very commonly, when people use the word pastor, I think that's a tripping point for people.
I think it is, but I would suggest my understanding is very similar to Plymouth Brethren approach, which is in the Lord's Supper meeting, women shouldn't say anything. Not only don't they teach, they don't even ask for a song to be sung. They don't even pray. They are silent during the whole time. In fact, Paul says that men are to, and he uses the word males, are to lift holy hands. That's in the Lord's Supper meeting. But outside of that, women can teach a Bible study with men. Women could teach a home Bible study. They could teach Sunday school with men in the class.
Be a missionary?
Well, they could be missionaries.
Sure.
But how about this? If you have a church where you have a Bible teaching hour, which Plymouth Brethren churches have, and you have a separate meeting called the Lord's Supper meeting, a woman could preach at the Sunday morning sermon during the quote-unquote worship service, but not say a word during the Lord's Supper meeting. And in fact, your own daughter is an example of that.
That's right. Yeah.
She went to Marshall, Texas, and she was at Cypress Valley Bible Church, and they have the Lord's Supper meeting on Sunday night, and I believe another night, Monday or Tuesday night, they have, because the church is big enough, they have to have two. And yet Sunday morning, they have a sermon, and she preached Sunday morning.
Right.
Well, that's not a contradiction of I don't permit women to teach. So in answer to David's question, women can't be elders in the local church. Women can't preach in whatever service you call the meeting of the church. If that's Sunday morning during your worship service, then women can't speak. But if it's a Lord's Supper meeting, then women can't speak, whatever that is. But
so the problem would be this cultural thing, since most churches don't function like that, like the most evangelical churches
right.
don't do that. And so if I'm understanding your view here, then it would be the Sunday morning sermon would be the place.
In most churches. And there are churches that have women elders.
Right.
I believe the Willow Creek Association, the Willow Creek itself, I think, has women elders. And some of the people say, well, that was Paul. That was just a cultural thing, or that was whatever. Or that doesn't apply today. I disagree.
Right.
I would disagree. There are women who are the pastor of the church, and they speak Sunday morning.
And that's the main meaning of the church, right?
And in my opinion, they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, but yet God can use them, and God can even bless what they're doing, but that we should not be doing that. That's contrary to the Word of God.
Okay, great. Well, I hope, Dave, that Bob Wilkins, sir, answered your question there. The next one is from Matt. And he has a couple questions about...
Matt's asking about Mark, isn't he?
No, he's asking about the Mark. Or did you say Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said... Yes, he is. The Mark. Matt is asking about the Mark of the Beast in Revelation. He wants to know if a person who takes the Mark, because it says that anyone who takes the Mark will be cast in the lake of fire. Does that mean that they will be incapable of believing afterwards? Or... if they become a believer afterwards, too bad. You took the mark of the beast and you shouldn't have done it. So even if you believe in Jesus for eternal life during the tribulation, you're just out of luck.
Okay, it can't mean the latter, because anyone who believes in Jesus for everlasting life has it. So it means they won't.
So probably
does it mean they can't? I would say it means they won't.
The John 5, they'll be unwilling. Or could we say that the Spirit will no longer draw these people?
I don't know. I don't know that. I would tend to think John 16, 8-11 still applies, that they're still being convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but they won't respond properly. And exactly why that is, I don't know. But I wouldn't say they can't believe. They won't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So in any case, we know they're not going to believe, because if they did believe, they would have everlasting life. And by the way, I've had people, I remember I was in a debate at Multnomah the year I taught there, and the person I was debating, it was over Lordship Salvation, and he said, well, during the tribulation, we know no believer will take the mark of the beast, right? So that's perseverance. And I think the correct response there is that's a unique time in all of human history. And it's the only time that at the very end of the tribulation, 100% of those who are believers will be faithful.
And I think a better response to that, and I'm sure that's what you told them in that debate, even though I wasn't there, is that God will not allow it.
Right. And one of the ways God doesn't allow it is he takes the lives, or will take the lives, of believers who are on their way to take the mark of the beast.
Right.
Or who are contemplating taking the mark of the beast. He will simply take them home early, or he might bring someone that talks some sense into them.
Right.
But either way, he'll take their life before he'll let them take the mark of the beast.
Yeah, I think that would be a better way to answer that. And then finally,
Matt has another mark of the,
yeah.
Not mark of the beast, but the mark put on the 144,000?
Yes, he wants to know the mark that's put on the 144,000. Do you think it's literal or symbolic? And if it's literal, how will it get there?
Yeah, isn't it a mark that protects them during their time of ministry?
It's clear that John is drawing a parallel between those who take the mark of the beast and then these. They have a mark on them, on their forehead.
And I would think this is a literal mark that is given. It doesn't have to be, but, you know, the mark of the beast is literal. I would think the mark on the 144,000 is literal, just like there was a mark with Cain. Right? Cain was given a mark so that people would not kill him.
Right.
And I think that was a literal mark. So
now, can we say, can we be absolutely dogmatic that the mark of the beast, well, when you said literal, is it something people will be able to see? And I ask that because, like, for example,
like they could put a chip under
their
hand.
Yes, could
something.
That be it? You know, like I just saw a video this week of a young lady shopping, and all she did was watch. And she put her hand over it, and I guess, I don't know, I guess in this particular state, they're already using
she
that
She had a credit card in, embedded in her hand.
But no, you couldn't see it.
Just a chip, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So when you say literal, do you necessarily mean it'll be visible?
Well, I tend to think it will be visible, but you're right. I can't dogmatically say that.
I was just curious there. What if you thought if we could be dogmatic?
I mean, it's the number of the beast, 666.
Right.
And we don't know exactly how that works. You know, is it going to be, you know, some kind of embedded chip with the number 666 as a part of it? I tend to think it's going to be something you would actually see.
So if you had to bet $5, you would say the 144 will have one that'll be visible as well. But
yeah.
We can't be dogmatic.
Right.
Okay. Well, great questions from both David and Matt. And for all of our listeners, remember,
keep grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, can we buy our way into the kingdom of God? Is that what a couple of the parables say? We'll look at that question on the next episode. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.